To chapter 28, we'll read a few verses there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter number 28. I want to just share a real simple thought with you today, and you just pray real hard that the Lord would help me. I'm nobody. I need the Lord's help just as much as I did the first time I ever stood to preach. And so you pray that the Lord would have his way today and speak to our hearts and make it real easy, and I know that you will. Matthew chapter number 28, let's read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and Lord, for allowing us to be here today, and Lord, for the pretty day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray that, God, you just help us today as we look into thy word. I need thy help. I pray for thy anointing, Lord. We plead thy blood. Lord, I'm thankful that, God, we have hope today. Lord, I'm thankful that as we gather together, Lord, it's not the first time that we've come to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. But, Lord, every time we meet together, and, Lord, every day I wake up and everything I do, it's because you live, and I praise you for that today. Lord, life would be so hard, God, without knowing that we have a Savior that's alive and lives and helps us and forgives us and loves us. And Father, we just thank you for that today. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd have your way. And Lord, that your will would be done here today. God, I pray for your help. I pray for your anointing. I pray, God, for the revival this week. God, that you'd just work and move and save souls and revive thy people. Lord, start here today. Have your way. We ask for it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and read verse number 7 one more time. Verse number 7, this is something the Lord showed me. The Bible says there, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And the thought I want to preach from today is right here in verse number 7. And actually, the Lord began to show me this verse and some things out of this verse several weeks ago. It was on Sunday morning, and the choir was singing. And I don't know if somebody had said something about Easter, but I began to think, well, I thought to myself, I remember thinking, when is Easter? I need to start thinking about that. Of course, it's later this year than it is most years, and this was at the beginning of the month. But when I thought that, the Lord brought this passage of Scripture to my mind, what the angel said to the women here. Here we find the, what I believe we could call the marching orders of Christianity. We see that the angel said to the women there, he said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples." There's two things there, go and tell. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is going and telling. He didn't just say go, he said go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Now, normally when we think about what we're supposed to do or our marching orders. We might think over in Matthew 28, more along the lines of verse number 19, where he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." There we see that the Lord said, "Go and tell." But it is significant to me that the very first message, the very first words that we hear on that resurrection morning were the words, "Go and tell." He told those ladies that came to the tomb, he said, "Go and tell my disciples." And I thought to myself, what a humble beginning that was. I mean, when the Lord Jesus rose from the grave early on that morning, there was no press release to the newspaper. There was no presidential proclamation or anything like that. There was just simply the angel told the women. And the women were to go and tell the disciples. And the disciples were to go and tell the world. And those that were saved and baptized and followed the Lord Jesus, they were to go and tell others. And from very, very humble beginnings, here we are today, and we're still talking about the fact that Jesus got up out of the grave on that morning. And we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to go and tell, and go and tell, and go and tell. And that pattern has been carried on over and over and over again for over 2,000 some years to up till now. But I want to read that verse one more time, and I want to throw one more thing in there that I really want to preach on today. The Bible said, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." I want to preach on this subject today. Go and tell and see. Go and tell and see. And you might even want to underline that in your Bible. He said, "Go quickly, tell his disciples." And then on down in that verse, he said, "There shall ye see him." And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning by the help of the Lord. But there's a great pattern there, even a glorious pattern that we find in God's Word. And I believe we could say, and I'll point out this morning, it's been tried and tested down through the years. Who among us this morning, if you were asked the question, "Would you like to see him?" I think everybody would raise their hand. I hope you could do that this morning, say, "Preacher, I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him." You know, the Word of God teaches that we can see him. And I want to show you what the Lord showed me about this little thought. And just remember, that's the key to the whole thing this morning. Go and tell and you'll see him. Go and tell and you'll see him. I realize this morning there's probably a great many people, they say, "Boy, I'd sure like to see the Lord, but I just don't see him anywhere. I don't see his hand. I don't feel his presence. I don't see him working in my life." But there's a pattern here. The Bible says, "Go and tell and then you'll see him." So let me point out some things this morning. Now, when I talk about seeing the Lord, I'm not talking about like Moses seeing the Lord. You remember over there in the book of Exodus, Moses wanted to see the glory of God, but God told him, he said, "Nobody can see me and live, but I'll put you in the rock and I'll pass by, and then I'll let you see my hinder parts. I'll let you see just a little bit of my glory." And Moses seen it with his physical eye. I also believe that Isaiah seen him with his eye. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 6, after King Uzziah died, that Isaiah said, "Behold, I seen the Lord high and lifted up in his temple there." And he seen the Lord, and he seen him in his glory, and he seen the angels flying around the throne and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And I'm not talking that way of seeing the Lord this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. But I do believe that we can see the Lord like Peter and James and John and the disciples there. And I'll point that out this morning. People want to see him, but very few are willing to roll up their sleeves and go and tell in order that they might see him. But let me show you some things this morning out of the Word of God. The church the people that will see him are those that will make going and telling their number one priority. First of all, here in the passage of Scripture, we will see him when there's fear. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And then look on down in verse number 8, the Bible said, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Now, when I begin to study about this and really think about what took place on the morning that the Lord Jesus got up out of the grave, I thought to myself, they were very brave to even go there. I asked myself the question, where's the men? Where's the rest of them? Here it is, been 3 days, been 3 nights, and nobody's come to visit the graveside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that was because of the Jewish restriction of traveling on the Sabbath and all of those things. They had to wait for that to be over with, but none of the men came. None of the leaders came, but the women came out. And even to associate themselves with a man that has just been crucified, that had been condemned by the government officials, and there was all of this rigmarole about him going to Calvary, and all of this trial, and all of these circumstances, and the sun had went out on the day that he was crucified. I mean, they had to be brave to even go there. And I can see why the Bible says in verse number 5, "Fear not ye." The Bible says in verse number 2 that there had just been a great earthquake. The Bible said, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." So all of these circumstances taken into account, I think they were very brave to come. But the Bible says evidently they were very afraid to come. And I can understand and see why they would have been afraid to come and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, and that was what they were doing. I mean, the Bible tells us before this that all the disciples had forsook him and fled. But here they mustered up the courage to come to the place of the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, I wonder what they were talking about as they went that morning. You know, they'd have been talking about something. And they wouldn't have been talking about the weather. They wouldn't have been talking about what they were going to make for supper. They'd have been talking about what had just happened. And I'm sure that came into their conversation as they went on that morning. What has just happened among us? What is going to happen to us? What do all these things mean? And then as they're going up there, there's an earthquake, and then there's an angel that speaks to them, and of course they're afraid, and I understand that. And you know, that reminds me this morning as I think about that, that it sort of sounds like our day and time in which we live, there's a great amount of fear among our world. A lot of turmoil. A lot of disruption, a lot of bewilderment, a lot of people asking themselves, what do all these things mean, and what is going to happen to us, and what's going to happen tomorrow, and what about all these things? And so I understand that they were afraid even when they heard the good news, and they ran away. That's what the Bible says in verse 8. The Bible says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." There's a mixture of emotions there. And the Bible said, "And did run to bring his disciples word." So they're afraid. And I understand that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're afraid about what tomorrow holds and what's going to happen and all of these things. But nevertheless, they were going to do what the angel told them to do. That's what it said in verse 8. "And did run to bring his disciples word." Now, the angel said, if you'll go and tell, you'll see him. Now look what it says in verse number 9. Remember, the angel said, if you'll go and tell, you'll see him. But look at verse number 9. The Bible said, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail." They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Boy, you talk about causing your fears to go away. I mean, that'll help things a whole lot. The Lord said, you go and you tell and you'll see. You say, preacher, I just don't see him. And preacher, I'm worried about everything under the sun. You know what? If you'd get your priorities right, if you'd get involved in what you ought to be involved in, and that's going and telling, maybe you'd see him and your fears would vanish away. See, they done what the Lord said, and there was the Lord. Just like the angel said. And they all came and worshiped him. Now, notice in verse number 10 what the Bible said. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Be not afraid. He said, go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Do you notice that? That's the second. First time the angel said, go and tell, and you'll see him. And then Jesus came to them himself, and he said the same thing to them in verse number 10. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. See, there's the same three things. Go and tell them, and they'll see me when they go. And when they tell, they'll see me there. First of all, the angel said it. Then the Lord Jesus Christ said it. If you believe anything about the Word of God or know anything about the Word of God, you know that the first mention of anything in the Bible is very significant. First time you find something or the last time somebody says something. So I think to myself in my mind, what's the first message on resurrection morning? Go and tell and you'll see him. What's the second message on resurrection morning? Jesus said, go and tell and you'll see me. If you'll follow this pattern in your life, it'll help you when fear and uncertainty and all of these things come into our lives. What's the answer for all these fearful times that we're living in? What are we going to do? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know what the Word of God says, and it says go and tell. If you'll go and tell, you see him. It'll help your fears go away. What if I lose my job? I don't know if you lose your job, but I know what the Bible says. It says go and tell. If you'll go and tell, you'll see him. You'll see his hand. You'll see how he can provide. You'll see how big of a God and how alive he is this morning. You say, preacher, what if the economy gets worse? And what if gas goes up to $5 a gallon? And what if all these things happen? What if persecution comes? What if? What if? What if squirrels had guns, hunters wouldn't shoot at them? I don't know. You know, that's how we are. I mean, we what if ourselves to death and we worry about everything under the sun, and God just said, don't worry about all that stuff. Be not afraid. Just go and tell. And you'll see I'm alive. You just go and tell. He said, you tell that. You go and tell the disciples. And you'll see me. You'll see me if you'll go and tell. I thought to myself many, many times, what if they hadn't went? What if they hadn't believed what that angel said? I don't believe they'd have seen the Lord. I don't believe they'd have heard what he had to say. Boy, if you want to get your fears relieved today, just go and tell. And you'll see it'll be all right. Now, the Lord showed me that out of Matthew. Now, look over in the book of Mark. As I began to see these things, I thought and I was prayed about it, and then I thought, boy, wouldn't it be good if there's something every time. In every time, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, where we see this go and tell and you'll see, wouldn't it be just like God to put something good in there? Maybe I'd never seen before, and sure enough, I'm not disappointed this morning. I hope you won't be. Those who will see him, they'll see him not only when there's fear, but they'll see him when there's failure. Mark chapter number 16 is very much the same, but look in verse number 6 and verse number 7. The Bible said, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. See, there's that three things again. He said, you go, you tell, and there ye shall see him. But you know what? As these ladies came to the tomb early on that morning, I'm sure that all of them already knew. There had already been big talk among the believers and the followers and the women and the disciples. And all of them, there had been talk among them about the one that talked the loudest and bragged the biggest. You know who I'm talking about this morning? Mark expounds on it more than any others. Look over in Mark chapter number 14. I'll show you what I'm talking about this morning. Before Calvary, before Jesus went to the cross, when he was getting ready to be arrested and put on trial and flogged and beaten and mocked and scourged and made fun of and all of those things, you remember on the night of the Last Supper, here we read about what Peter said. That's who I'm talking about. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Verse 30, and Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And so what I'm talking about, when I say that you will see him when there's failure, Peter said, I will never deny you. I'll go with you all the way, even unto death. But you know what? It was Peter that denied him the most. It was Peter that not only denied him, but he denied that he even knew the Lord, and he denied him to the point of cursing about it. He really messed up. He really failed the Lord big time. I mean, it's one thing to fail the Lord, but it's a whole nother thing when you bragged about how you're never going to fail him and you're never going to deny him and you're always going to go with him even to the point of dying. But that's what Peter did, not one time, not two times, but three times. And so maybe these ladies had already marked Peter off their list when the angel said, go and tell the disciples. I wonder if some of them thought, well, that's everybody except Peter, because Peter run his big mouth and cussed and said that he didn't even know Jesus. But you know what the angel said here in verse number 7? He said, but go your way, tell his disciples. Boy, I like this. He said, and Peter. You make sure you don't leave Peter out. You make doubly sure that Peter's there. And although he's failed me miserably, you make sure that he knows that I'm alive and I'm well. And if they'll go there into Galilee, they'll see me a little bit later. I believe we could just be real honest this morning and say pretty sure that we've all failed him. There's been times in our lives where we've all just fell flat on our face and we've denied the Lord and we've cursed and we've swore and we've made big show in the flesh like maybe we wouldn't never do that. But we all this morning, we have scars in our lives and regrets and battle wounds, and we all have low points in our lives where we failed the Lord and miserable times. Where if we could, we'd like to say, I'd like to have a redo on that. Anybody else feel like that sometimes? You know, you go through life and you do something and you regret it and you hate it and you know you failed the Lord and you say, boy, I'd like to have that back. I'd like to do that over. The only thing is, there's no such thing as a do-over. I'm sure Peter would have liked to have went back on that night after the fact, after the Lord Jesus has got up out of that grave. I'm sure Peter, when the Lord came, you remember, and talked to him, and said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Ask him three times, do you love me? Do you really love me? I'm sure Peter would have said, boy, I'd love to go back and take that back. But you just can't do it. I mean, once something's done, it's done. It might as well be done and over with and get before God and get forgiveness over it and go on in your life. I'm glad I can tell you this morning that the Lord doesn't just love us when we're perfect. That'd be very few times. But God loves us in our failures and in our sin. He doesn't love our sin, but when we sin, He still loves us. His love does not change towards us. That amazes me. The unconditional love of God. And He said, you make sure you go tell Peter. I want Peter to be there. Yeah, Peter failed. Peter run his mouth. Peter denied me. But I still got something I want Peter to do. And I'll tell you this morning, you might be here and have all kinds of failures in your life, but the good news of the resurrected Savior is that He loves you and He wants you to know that and He wants to help you and use you. And me, buddy, you talk about times in my life where, what a failure. What a mess. What a mess I've made. And how you feel like throwing in the towel. But I think about old Peter. And the Lord said, you go tell him too. If you'll go and you'll tell, you'll see him. I like that verse, Hebrews 13:5. Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, if you could sin and lose your salvation, how many sins it'd take? Take one. Because sin is sin in the sight of God. And here's what we do in our lives. We say, big sins, little sin. But in the sight of God, Jesus died for all sins. All sins put Him on the cross of Calvary. It took His blood to shed on Calvary so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. So I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad for the grace of God and provision when we failed. We will see Him when there's fear. We will see Him when there's failure. Look over to Luke chapter number 24. Let me show you something else over there in the last chapter of the book of Luke. Chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24, and let's read verses 5 through 9 over there. And I say, third of all, this morning we'll see Him when there's forgetfulness. We'll see Him when there's forgetfulness. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 5 through 9. Now we've already established the fact, we've seen it three times. The angel said, go and tell and you'll see Him. And the Lord Jesus said, go and tell and you'll see me there. And so we realize that that's what the angel said to these women here in Luke chapter number 24, though. He says a little something else we see. And let me say this morning that I've been asked, you know, how come there's different sayings, different things in the Gospels? You read here something you didn't read in the other one. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll explain it quickly like this. It's not a contradiction. It's like if four of us seen a wreck out here on the highway and each one of us seen it from a different perspective and the policeman come and said, I'd like to hear what you say, what you've got to say about this. We'd all explain it differently, but we all seen the same thing. And we'd all describe something and say something that we heard and another one didn't hear or something like that. It's not a contradiction, but here we see that the angel says something else. Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, the Bible said, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Now, notice this in the Bible, what he said. He said, remember. Didn't say that in Matthew, didn't say that in Mark, doesn't say that in John, but here he says, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now in verse number 9, we see where they went, they told, but in verse number 6 and verse number 8, they remembered. See, they had forgotten something very, very important. And boy, that's how we are. You know, sometimes our religion gets in the way of our worshiping God. Our religious routine, you know, one writer said, you know, the difference between a rut and a grave is just the depth. And sometimes we get in such a rut in our religious life, and we go through the motion, and we get so much in our routine and in our rut that we forget what it's all about. The first words from the empty tomb were not go to church, they were go and tell. I think sometimes in our routine of things, we forget about that the object, the marching orders, is to go and tell. They were coming to anoint a dead body. That's what it said in verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Isn't that interesting, you know, that on that morning, here they come with spices to anoint the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an earthquake, and there's an angel, and there's a message. Ye come to seek Christ. He's not living. I mean, he's not dead. He's living. He's risen from the dead. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Wonder what they did with those spices that they're carrying. It's obvious testimony. They'd forgot. Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, I'm going to get up out of that grave. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? I mean, here they come with the evidence that they'd forgot the most important message that there ever was. Jesus said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I'm going to get up out of that grave. Wonder if there's some bushes somewhere that had some spices in them. As they run away to tell the disciples with their evidence that they'd forgotten what the Lord said, if there's some bushes somewhere. I don't guess they had CSI or anything back then, but if they did, them fellas would have been scratching their head. Wonder what these burial spices is doing over here in these bushes. There's a missing body, and we can't find him, and here's some spices in the bushes. Some of you don't know. You don't care. But isn't that just how we are sometimes? Boy, we forget. We forget the gospel. That's what it's all about. Verse 7, the Bible said again of sinful men. He said, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day. And the third day rise again. Going and telling. We need a constant reminder, don't we? Because we forget so easy. I think to myself, how in the world could they have forgot that Jesus said that? If he told them, and he did, that he was going to be crucified and sinful men would take him and kill him and crucify him. He'd be buried, but that he would get up out of the grave on the third day. How in the world could they forget that? But then I have to ask myself the question, how in the world can I forget that that's what it's all about? That's what it's all about. But many times our religious observances and our routine and all of these things, it gets in our way. But thank God, I'm glad this morning that seeing and telling and going and telling is a constant reminder, and we'll see him when we do that. I'm still going to show you something. Hang with me. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter number 20. Now, we'll see him when there's fear. And we'll see him when there's failure. And we'll see him when there's forgetfulness as well. If we'll go and tell. And we've got to keep remembering that. We're supposed to go and tell. If we'll go and tell, we'll see him. If we'll go and tell, we'll see him. John chapter number 20. Let me read the scripture first. John chapter 20 and verse number 18. Notice what the Bible says over here. It says, Mary Magdalene came. Now this is a little bit later on. the angel and the Lord Jesus said, go. And here she came. She had went. The Bible said Mary Magdalene came and told. That's what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to go and tell. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Now, she's seen him. She was the one. Now, evidently, the other women had went on a little bit ahead of her, and she's seen the Lord first. She's the one that mistook him for the gardener. She said, where have they laid him? Oh, if you'll tell me, I'll go. I'll take care of him. And he said, Mary. And boy, she knew then when he spoke. She said, Master. He said, go and tell. And she went to tell. And boy, she seen him first. And that's what she said here in verse number 19. Or verse number 18, it said that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, you caught that. This is later on in the day. This happened in the morning. This, what we're reading about, happened in the evening. They were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We'll see him when there's fear. We'll see him when there's failure. We'll see him when there's forgetfulness. And last of all this morning, we'll see him when there's fellowship. See, they're all gathered together for fear of the Jews. You say this is first church meeting. I'm not throwing off on church. Church is important. And here they are all gathered together just like the Lord had told them to do. And here comes the Lord Jesus and stands right in the very midst of them. You know what, this morning, a lot of times I think that we think that the good news of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection is for the lost world. They need to hear that. They're lost. But you know what? That good news of the gospel's for us. It's for us. It's for us when we come together and fellowship together, and that's where we're going to see him at. As we go and tell, we will see him. We need to hear the message of the gospel. We need to be reminded that we serve a living Lord. We need to be reminded this morning that he's not dead. He's alive. And when we are reminded and see that, boy, you talk about revival. See, that's what they had. They were in fear. They were discouraged. They were in hiding. They were in a state of not knowing what to do and what tomorrow was going to bring. And here they are. The Bible said, notice in verse number 19, the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. You know what? Can you imagine what they were there talking about? Shut the door. We're going to be next, you know. They all know that we were with him and that we followed him and we made a big deal. How many of us have, when he told us to go preach two by two and we all went out there and they all know our name and our faces and we're next? What are we going to do about it? Mary said to come here and we'd see him. But we all seen him die on Calvary. This just don't make any sense. And here they are, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, in the midst of them, he didn't even have to open the door. Praise God, there he is. And he said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I like that. Revival means to come to life again. Boy, you talk about breathing life into that little hiding out assembly of disciples there. We're talking here in these verses about the ones that went out
and turn the world upside down. I mean, they're not much. But God used them in a great and a mighty way. You know, the church that sees him this morning is not going to be the one that has the best preacher. You know, I want to be the best preacher that I can be. I like to study and I like to preach and find things, but I'll tell you, there's even pitfalls in that. There's pridefulness in that. It's not going to be the one that's got the best preacher. It's not going to be the one that's got the best programs. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of churches out here and they've got programs for everything under the sun. It's not going to be the ones that have the best people. The church that sees him is not going to be the one that's got the most money. It's not going to be the one that's got the most multitudes. Boy, there's a lot of talk about how many people we've got and all of those things. It's not going to be the one that's got the most machinery. Got this going on and that going on and all of these things. The one that sees him is going to be the one that makes it their number one priority just to go and tell. And as they go and tell, they will see him. Look over in Acts chapter number 1. That's not the end of the story. In John chapter number 20, if we had time this morning, we could do a study all the way through the book of Acts, and I could take some time this morning and show you, and you'd see, boy, they went and they told, and man, did they see him. Boy, they seen him. They seen him like many of us have never seen him before. They seen him on Pentecost. I won't have time to go all through these things this morning, but I'll just mention a few. They seen him on Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, and the fire of God fell, and souls were saved, 3,000 some souls in one day. I can't believe that. If I seen 3 in one day, I'd be amazed and astounded. They seen 3,000 added in one day in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost. They seen that. Look in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. The Bible said, you say, preacher, I'd like to see the Lord move. I want to see souls saved. Right here's the key. Now what I'm showing you, that little group gathered together there afraid, they did what the angel said. They began to go and tell, and boy, did they see him. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, this is another time, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Hey, I'm sure some of them said, hey, but you're alive and we've got the message and we need to go out there and tell it. But the Lord said, don't you go anywhere. You just stay right there. Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. That's what they had to wait on. I'll tell you a little story and I'll move on. Yesterday was Chloe's birthday and she's been asking for a kite. And so we got her a kite. And of course, I'm the kite flyer. And we got the kite out, and I don't know, it'd been a long time since we'd tried to fly a kite at the house, and you know, I got it up and was flying it there, and here come Chloe, and I let her hold it, and then it was down, and here come Abigail and Noah, and they wanted to fly it too. You know, it's fun to fly a kite. There's nothing wrong with that. And so I went back in the house to get my glasses and come back out, and I looked out there, and Abigail's running through the field. She said, Daddy, how do you get it up? And she's running, and that kite's banging, banging across the ground, and she's jerking it along. And I said, that's not how you do it. And I said, give it to me. And I said, you don't have to run. And Noah was standing there by that time. I said, this is just like church. I said, you just got to wait on the breeze to blow. And I held that kite up, and here come the wind just a little bit, and I began to let it out and let it out. I said, that's what you need to wait on in church. You need to wait on the Holy Ghost of God to come. You can do a whole lot of things in the flesh and wear yourself out and tear a lot of things up. But boy, if we just wait on God, if we just wait on that breeze to blow, if we just get before God in prayer and humility and seek His face and let the good Holy Ghost of God come through and have His way in our midst, you talk about making a difference. I just stood there and let it go.
We'd wait on the Holy Ghost. They seen him on Pentecost.
They seen him over, they seen him in power in Acts chapter number 3. I'm telling you, they got the fire of God under their seat, and they went out and they began to go and tell and see. And in Acts chapter number 3, they seen him in power with the lame man. And there that poor old man had sat out there for, since he was born that way.
And they'd haul him up there in front of the temple, and he'd ask an alms of anybody that come by. And he had done that for years and years and years. But one day Peter came by and he asked an alms, the Bible says. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he reached down and he grabbed him by the hand. And the Bible says he received strength in his feet and in his ankle bones. And the Bible says he began to run and leap and praise God. Boy, wouldn't that be good to see? You say, "Preacher, I'd like to see that in church again." Go and tell. And you'll see it. Say, "Preacher, why don't we see nobody leaping and praising God and jumping and shouting because we're not too interested in going and telling?" I'll tell you, if we'd go and tell, we'd see him. They did. They seen him in power. They seen him in persecution in Acts chapter number 4. We see there Peter arrested. Look over in Acts chapter 4. Let me just show you a thing or two. Lest you panic this morning, I've just got 8 things I'm going to show you out of this, but it won't take me long. They seen him in persecution in Acts chapter number 4. Say, "Preacher, what were they preaching about?" See, they got in trouble for preaching. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 2. Look what the Bible says. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." What were they preaching, preacher? They was preaching that message of the angel. "He is not here, for he is risen from the dead. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And they went out and they preached that message. They preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it got them in trouble. And it got Peter arrested. But it said in verse number 8, they let him out. They should have never done that. But it said in verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He went on down verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I believe if you'll read in Acts chapter number 4, you'll find out that 5,000 people got saved. Boy, they seen him. They seen him work. You say, "Preacher, I'd like to see him work like that." Go and tell. Go and tell and you'll see him work. Go and tell and you'll see his power. Go and tell. You'll see him when persecution comes. In Acts chapter 5, they seen him in purity. I'm not going to preach about this, but I'll just mention, here's Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied unto the Holy Ghost, and God killed them. That's a short message. See, impurity began to creep into the church at that very early time. And God said right at the very beginning, he showed us what he thinks about sin in the church, and he put to death Ananias and Sapphira. You know what? It's no accident that a little later on when Peter wrote his epistle, he said in 1 Peter 4:17, he said, "Now's the time for judgment to begin at the house of God." You want to see him? Well, if we get our hearts right, if we get our hearts right and pure in the church and repent of our sins, we'd see him. There needs to be purity. And we see that there in Acts chapter number 7. They seen him in the preaching. There's Stephen. And he's preaching before all these religious men. And they hate that message. If you'll read over there, he preached the message of the resurrection. He told all about the history of Israel. Then he taught about Jesus, "whom ye have crucified," he said, "and hanged on a tree." And I'll tell you what, he's not dead. He's alive. And they hated him so much that they ran upon him and they gnashed him with their teeth and they stoned him to death while Saul stood by and held their garments. You know what? Stephen, he went and he told and he seen him. Before he died, the Bible said he looked up into heaven and he said, "Behold, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Well, he seen him.
You say, "Preacher, I'd like to see him like that. Go and tell, and you'll see him." I see over there in the next chapter, Acts chapter number 9, I believe it is, where Philip, he was an early deacon in the church, and he was a preacher as well. And the Holy Ghost sent him down into the desert. And when he went down into the desert, he had left a great revival in Samaria. But the Holy Ghost said, "There's one fella down there, I want you to go and tell him." And he went down there in obedience to the Lord, and he went down there and he met that Ethiopian eunuch, and he got up in the chariot. You remember that? And the Ethiopian eunuch had a copy of Isaiah, and he was reading out of chapter number 53. And old Peter, Philip there, no doubt he thought to himself, "Man, this is going to work out good. Just so happens I know a little bit about this man he's reading about." And the Bible says he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that man believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved by the grace of God. And he went on his way rejoicing. The Bible says, you say, "Preacher, I'd like to see something like that." Go and tell. Go and tell and you'll see him. He's not stopped working. They seen him in the prison. They seen him in the prayer meeting in Acts chapter 12 where Peter was in prison. And the Bible said, but prayer was made by the church without ceasing unto him. The angel of the Lord went and let Peter out of prison. They seen him in the palace. They seen him in the perils. They seen him in the person of somebody like Saul that stood by and held the garments while they stoned Stephen to death. But then God saved Saul and made him a Paul. Say, "Preacher, I'd like to see God save somebody wicked that I know." You just go and tell, and you'll see him. We see that all through the Bible. Let me show you one last thing. Go back to Acts chapter number 1. They seen him in the promise. In Acts chapter 1, and I didn't read verse number 8, and I'll be done. I told you it wouldn't take me long to preach 8 things, but he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He said, last thing I want to tell you before I go, go and tell. Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and I want you to go. In Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, and tell others the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 said, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" Boy, I like that. You know what he said to them there? He said, "You just go and tell." But they said, "But he went away and we don't see him anymore." He said, "You just go and tell. You'll see him again. You'll see him again. He's going to come back. Just like he went away." That's a promise in the Word of God. And I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking, but they won't see him like that because they're dead. They're dead, but they're not gone. They'll just see it from a different perspective. He didn't say you'd be here too. He said, but you'll see him come just like you seen him left. But I believe there's a real good chance that we'll see him like that. I know the Lord's coming in the rapture, and that, boy, that's our blessed hope this morning. But they seen him in the promises. I like that old song this morning, "Standing on the Promises." You know, sometimes it's good for us, like a lot of machinery and computers and things that we have nowadays, a lot of them has a thing called a reset button. And I think we need that in church every once in a while. I think it'd be good for us, maybe somebody at Staples, get one of them big red buttons. We'll make it our own. We'll say, "That's the reset button." We just come hit that button every once in a while when we get off what it's all really about and come back to what it's really all about and hit that button and say, "You know what it's all about? We need to reset to the death, the burial, and the resurrection and going and telling a lost world." Because this world is still as rotten and evil and sin cursed, and people are needy.
And I'll tell you what they need. They need what I'm rejoicing in this morning. That's a risen Savior. He's alive. He's not on that cross. I heard a song on the radio this morning, and it's a real, what I would call a emotional, feely type song. And it said this, it said, "Does he still feel the nails in his hands when I sin?" Nope. No, he don't. I preached on that Wednesday night. I guess that's why I caught on to it. The Bible says he's once suffered. Praise God. He has once suffered for your sins. And then he died. And then he was buried. And then he rose again the third day. He's not suffering for our sins. But boy, we suffer for him sometimes. You say, "Preacher, I'm miserable. Preacher, I hate my life. Preacher, I don't know. Well, I don't know if I want to go on." I'm telling you, there's a reason. But it's not in this world. It's not in our flesh. It's in him and him alone. He's the answer. He's the answer to your problems this morning. And it's the same for us. Go and tell. Say, "Preacher, I'd like to have a good revival." Go and tell. You'll see him. "Preacher, I'd like to see him work in my life." Go and tell. You'll see him. You'll see him work. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.